This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, wonderful, and not Monica co-host, Tom Knight from Three Extra Lives. Hello, Tom, and how are you doing today?
I was hoping we were going to be able to just play the con, see how long it would take people to figure out that I wasn't Monica.
I think we could have
got away with most of the show. I would have put an accent on, would have got very awkward, but I think we could have pulled it off, Amanda, but now you've pulled the rug from under my feet and the jig is up. But yes, hello, I'm here. I'm filling in for Monica. Monica's off somewhere doing something fun and she's left me to pick up the slack and cover on Geek Herring live on Twitch. I'm not nervous at all. I'm not nervous. You're nervous. All right.
Okay. It's totally me. I'm nervous. The butterflies are in my stomach being here recording with somebody that's not Monica for the first time ever. For me, I think Monica's done it a couple times, but it's always me who can't make the shows. But this is the first time that Monica has missed an episode of Geek Herring. Ah, how dare she go
ever.
And
this
ever.
This is the first episode she's never been on.
This is the first episode Monica has never, hasn't been on. Like, what dedication is that? You know, we have recorded, this is episode number 97, and it is Monica's first episode that she's missing. I mean, how dare she? But also super big happy anniversary to her and her weirdo. They celebrate 10 years together today. I mean, that's some achievement because they're both annoying as fuck.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's probably true. I was going to say this is going to be interesting for your metrics of Geek Herring. You know, I feel like you might be heading for your most downloaded episode ever. Now Monica's not here. Mm-hmm. You can finally break free and, you know, hit those high numbers. I'm just kidding, of course. We love Monica, and she would be disappointed if I did not open this episode by saying something quite rude about her. I mean, that wasn't very rude, was it?
It wasn't very rude.
I'm building up.
Yeah,
I can't give you the big stuff straight away because that's just not Geek Herring.
That's true.
We're gonna ease slowly into it, and who knows, maybe later on we'll have some more Monica burns for you to look forward to.
Maybe.
Or not.
I don't know. We do have a request from chat, from Gemma in chat, that wants to hear the Tom Monica accent. So.
Ooh, well, I don't know if I could do that. That's, you know, Amanda blew that. Like, that's how I was preparing for the show. But now that you know it's me, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to hold off that. I can't have that on an actual podcast episode.
There we go. Such a disappointment. I feel like, you know, we should have really talked about this in pre-show and, you know, you told me your plan. Or were you trying to surprise me? Like, I don't know. Obviously, I had to introduce you as who you are.
Yeah. I mean, I even got my name on the screen. So it just wasn't a very well executed plan.
No.
If you think about it, when I say name on the screen, if you're listening to this on the podcast, talking about the Twitch, I like context, you know. Because I always think about the podcast listeners that aren't here live on Twitch right now. Don't know why they're not. That's a bit silly. Should be here. But there we go. I'm just rambling. Like,
I'm
just giving you more stuff to edit out or not. I don't know.
I probably won't because, you know, this episode's going out this week. It doesn't really give me a lot of time to do any fancy editing. So let's not, like, prolong my suffering anymore. And let's just get right into the Geek Girl in the News for September 2020.
There you go. There's your little segue sounder.
Wow. Amazing. So thanks for that glorious introduction song. I feel like that was a great theme song. And another one that I would like on our soundboard, which we don't have yet. So that's great. Getting right into it, we have another sad and slightly... sad. It's just sad. Start to the news for September. And that is, we're remembering and mourning the loss of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died at the age of 87 a couple weeks ago from a long battle with metastatic pancreatic cancer. She passed away surrounded by her family at her house. And, you know, even after her passing, she is still continuing to do some pretty amazing things, I think, in passing, because she is not only the first woman, but she's also the first Jewish person to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol on Friday, just past there, for her funeral. So,
which is a pretty incredible stat, right? Just
yeah,
like we're in 2020, and that's something that's being rhymed off as the first time it's happening.
Right. So, since this became a tradition in 1852, over 30 men have lain in state. This includes like 12 former presidents, other statesmen and military leaders, and most recently, Georgia congressman and civil rights activist John Lewis back in July. So she continues to make waves there. And she's just, her loss has been really felt in the community in America and I think across the world. She has championed women's rights and feminism since long before she became a Supreme Court justice 27 years ago when she was elected by Bill Clinton. And, you know, she is leaving behind a legacy. She's leaving behind really big shoes to fill. And, you know, she has changed the course of women's rights for hopefully, we're saying hopefully here because we've got another story coming up next, but hopefully many years to come. And it's just a real time to mourn the loss of a great woman.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm not going to like sit here and pretend to be an expert on like US politics and things like that, but just seeing the, you know, the ramifications of somebody's death, like even if you don't really know too much about them, like if you go on to, you know, social media and you start to just see the impact somebody like this has had on people all across the world. And it's just, it is pretty incredible just to, even like myself, just to kind of look and go, well, I didn't know too much about this person, but now I do. And it, you know, it's kind of one of those unfortunate things where it's like, oh, I'm only learning about them because they sadly passed away. But I think it's just testament to their legacy as well, that it just makes people open their eyes and see like there's always people like this fighting for a cause. There's always people there, even if they're not always known to everyone, or there's just people that are completely oblivious kind of thing. And there's always people fighting and pushing for what they believe in and what they believe to be right. And I think if anything, you can always take away that kind of inspirational factor from it.
Absolutely. She's done more for women than I think anybody has on this kind of national, international level. I know that she was a national justice, but I think that her policies impacted a lot more than just America. So, and just like, if you want, Tom, I do have her autobiography in my office, like right next door to your room. So you could totally just have a gander and read up on all the amazing things that she's done in her life and her career. So Justice Ginsburg will be laid to rest formally in Arlington Cemetery this week in a private ceremony with just her family. And I think that it's just wonderful that she's being laid in Arlington, which is, you know, a cemetery for presidents and for national heroes. And it's a rite that is very, very well deserved. And it's nice that something good is happening with the end of her life. Because we all know that it was one of her fervent wishes to not be replaced before the election of a new president. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's happening with President Trump's nomination of Amy Coney Barrett for the replacement of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So this move is
so, I was going to say, like, as a political noob and somebody that's, again, I'm just going to say it, quite ignorant to what is going on there, like lay it down on me, like what's the implication of this, and like what even like this, the symbolic meaning of all this, because like I've seen people like not happy about this at all.
Okay, so, and I am by no means an American political expert. So this well, is my understanding.
On this episode, you are. Yeah, you are absolutely.
I'll take the crown. Yeah. So basically, when President Obama was in office, a Supreme Court justice passed away in, I think it was around February of his last term, or his last year in office of his last term. And they delayed, they said that you couldn't replace a Supreme Court justice in a president's last year because it should be up to the next president to nominate that role. And so that was the conservatives who said that. The Republicans, they said that that is the precedent. So they set this precedent that, you know, you can't replace it. So
are you about to tell me that the politicians said one thing and then they did the other thing? Are you going to tell me they did that, Amanda?
Well,
that is so rare. That never happens.
I know. What I'm telling you is that President Obama was like, okay, we'll do this, and didn't nominate a Supreme Court justice. Fast forward 4 years, when Justice Ginsburg passes away 37 days before an election, not like 7 or 8 months before an election like it was 4 years ago, but no, 37 days. And they're like, you know what? We're going to push through a Supreme Court justice nomination. So it's very hypocritical. And it's very,
it almost seems unnecessary as well, right? Because
it's unnecessary. And it just is very anger inducing. It's like, okay, so just like everything else, one rule applies to Democrats and one rule applies to Republicans. So super, super.
Because potentially, obviously, depending on the results of that election, like that will change again then. I don't know. I don't know how that actually works or...
Well, excuse me, the way it works, as far as I know, and again, not like an expert in American politics, that when you're elected to the Supreme Court, you're basically there for life, I think, like until you die or until you retire. Like it's the kind of position that you don't, you're not elected once you're there, you're there. As far as I know, I could be completely wrong. And if we have...
Right. So if there is a presidential change, then, for example, Joe Biden's not going to be able to say, well... that's not the person I wanted to put forward for this date. They will still be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as I know, that's how it works. I could be wrong. And if anybody is listening in Twitch chat knows better than me on that, please let me know.
Gemma's confirming. There's
confirming
no recalling,
that.
No recalls. So yeah, that seems like a really, out of everything that's coming out of the States, you're just not surprised by this kind of antics, really. But it does seem like, if I could find a word, it seems like poor sportsmanship of just like, hey, right? Like you say, it's not like months before an election. We're talking days, mm-hmm. days. And it's just it's just a power move, right? It's just like, well, I'm flexing my muscles here. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, potentially you'd feel like there is more important issues at hand, but there we go. Politics, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Politics.
Yeah. So Donald Trump has put forward his nomination for Justice Ginsburg replacement with the Notre Dame law professor Amy Coney Barrett, who is, I'm trying to find the most unbiased words in my head to come out here. She is a It's not happening. She's a horrible person. She is like anti-women's rights, anti-LGBTQ rights. She is pro-religion. She's basically in a cult called People of Praise, which is actually like a fringe Christian group somehow related to the Catholic faith, that members of this church group get assigned like personal advisors called heads for men and handmaids for women. Handmaids. They like, there yes. actually is some position in this cult group called a handmaid. I'm like, oh, hello, Margaret Atwood. Like, okay, this is actually happening. Okay.
This is how it starts.
This is how it starts. Mm-hmm. So in this church group as well, the group considers the husbands are the heads of authority within their families. And it's like super conservative, super 1870s. Like we're going like
I was going to say, well, I'd probably put it further back than that.
Yeah, well, let's just keep going back. Yep. And it is terrifying. Like, she is anti-everything. She sides with, like, people who don't agree with marriage equality. She believes that the Title IX protections don't include transgender people. She basically, everything that Ruth Bader Ginsburg has fought for since she started, like, not even before 27 years ago when she came onto the Supreme Court, this woman is against it. She's like anti Obamacare. She's anti LGBT rights. She's anti like everything that is in here for progression. Like, she's basically going to bring every step forward for women's rights and equality way back. And as Gemma said, she is the 1850s patriarchy in a judge.
Yeah.
It's scary. It's heartbreaking. And even when she came on the news the other night, my mom was like, there's evil in that woman's eyes. I was like,
well, if your mom's saying that, then, you know, that's it.
That's it.
I mean, you know? I don't think we don't need to discuss any further if that's what your mom's saying. But I mean, I do feel like with regards to politics these days, like, I'm really getting to a point where it's so easy to just to lose all kinds of hope in the world, because it's like there's all these people in power that just they are terrible people. Mm-hmm. And they have backwards views. They are not progressive in the slightest. And it's just like, what do we do? Like, you know, it's just so frustrating. It is so frustrating. Like, and, you know, I'm sitting here as white, straight male, but, you know, things like that won't impact me as much, but I know it's going to impact, you know, a lot of people in America. It's going to impact potentially people in the world as well. And it's just like, there's just no words really, is there? It's just like, in some places where, you know, step forwards are being made, then something happens and just knocks it back. And it just feels like, it just kind of reiterates the message of like, gotta keep fighting the what you believe in. And that fight never ends. Like, we're never going to get to a point where it's like, it's done. And that's, you know, across the board on all these equality issues as well. Like, we have to keep fighting and never stop. And as much as it does seem hopeless, like, it does feel just like, you know what, you know, just let's forget about it. Like, there's nothing we can do. Everything bad's happening. And we, you know, there are the people in power, but we just have to keep going. And it's, mm-hmm. it's not something like one person can change. It's a collective effort, and it takes, well, forever to change, but it's just something you can't give up on, as much as like you do look inside of yourself sometimes and go, there's just no point, you know. But yeah, it doesn't sound like a great place to move to as well. And just, you know, it's just a real kick in the gut, right? It's just a real kick in the gut with just I would say the whole administration of the last 4 years in America. It's just like, please, like, don't make it another four, because like the damage that's been done in 4 years, I mean, yeah, I just don't even want to think about that alternative. And like, this is like me sitting in Ireland being like, yeah, you know, American politics generally has never had, you know, too much of an impact on me. You know, there are some ways it has, but I mean, I feel like now just the world is connecting up, and you just see all politics kind of connecting together in some weird way. Like, I think there's some real strange stuff happening in the shadows in the world right now that it's quite sickening, and just, you know, just feel at a loss with it all. But yeah,
and as Gemma said,
do we have any good news to move to? But yeah,
we do have lots of good news stories, but I'm just going to read Gemma's comment here because it's great. Gemma says, it'll be exponential moving forward. The foundation is built now, so the ideological walls can go up faster. It's scary for sure. And it is. And I think it's like, it's more important now to vote than ever, because it's not just between two different parties. It's, again, it's about human rights now. So if you are able to vote in American elections, meaning you are over 18 and you are American, vote in the fucking election. Like, this is your geek herring call to action. Vote.
We're not telling you who to vote for, but you know. But I think like even getting people to the point of voting is a big thing, right? Because in the last mm-hmm. election, a lot of people didn't vote. And I know there's like also a another scandal coming up from the Cambridge analytics as well, with regards to the, you know, the last election and the targeting of race on that as well. And you know, it's scary, just like the things that are going on in the shadows with regards to that as well. But obviously, like, having your vote and using your vote is a huge thing into at least having some kind of say in what's going on. That's not saying that's going to always change things for the better, but for a start, like, it is the one thing you can do to at least say, like, at least I'm voting, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying who you vote for, because I feel like, yeah, you're executing your right to vote. That's a big deal. And if you look at what's happening in regards to politics, then I hope you make the best decision, the lesser evil. I feel like that's what politics comes down to. Unfortunately, it's very, very rarely feels like you're voting for a good person. You're just voting for the less worse person, which is a very depressing way to look at it, but it still matters.
It does. And before we move on to our good news, I will read one other thing that Gemma has written. She says, vote and show up. Organizations in your area will still be working hard for human rights. Political action is every day. Every day you can change the world with other people who want to work in a better place.
Well done, Gemma. Well said.
Well said. Thank you so much. And we're going to move into some good news articles, because it's been a really heavy start to our September recap. But there's been a lot of good stuff happening in this month as well. And I'm going to let Tom introduce this next article, because it was actually Tom who brought it to our attention.
Alrighty then. Well, we're still in America. We're staying in America. And it's not all doom and gloom, because NFL makes history with female officials and coaches at Washington-Cleveland game.
So, this is really cool.
NFL history is made on Sunday. There was a game between the Cleveland Browns and Washington football team, their new name, the first team to feature female coaches on opposing sidelines and a female official on the field, which that seems huge. That seems huge because, again, from my across the pond perspective on American football, that's like, you know, something in the schools, big deal for the jocks, and, you know, college football and then NFL, like is that something like girls are playing, you know, at school? Because, it, you know, for me, it just feels like I don't know. Like, there probably is. Like, I'm just like ruling out, but it doesn't seem like we're at a place where it's like.
Might be, but in my experience in the American school system, in the high schools in my area and my middle school, we had football teams, like school football teams, and they were all boys. There wasn't any girls on the team. So I don't know if that's the case in the entire country, but I would say it's probably quite likely. It doesn't mean that women aren't interested in football. It doesn't mean that they don't like to play it themselves. So to see people, these three women in particular, to be in positions of power in a American football game between like two pretty big teams is pretty great. So we have, I'll just get their names. We have Cleveland's chief of staff, Kelly Brownson, Washington's full year coaching intern, Jennifer King, and NFL official, Sarah Thomas. So they made NFL history on Sunday. So it's pretty fantastic. And, you know, I want to say as well that there was a picture posted by the Cleveland Browns of the three women on Sunday. And it's nice to see, like, is such a variety of women. Like, they're not, I don't know, it's they're different. Every woman is different. And I think that actually is really impactful as well, because it's representative of people being like, oh, well, it's only black women that could be an NFL coach. And it's like, well, no, because there's a black woman, but there's also two white women. And it's like, oh, well, only lesbians can. And it's like, oh, well, no, because, I mean, we don't know their sexuality, but they're, you know, it's nice to look and be like, as a little girl, look up and be like, you know, I could be a football coach because there's a woman there that looks like me. There's a woman there I identify with. So it's...
Absolutely. And I think with regards to sport, like, things are changing, obviously not as fast as we want, right? But things are changing with regards to this. I mean, we're seeing the rise of the other football, the real football in America. Sorry, the soccer. That's obviously gaining heaps of popularity. North America a few years back hosted like the Women's World Cup, and like women's soccer in the States and in North America is growing, I think, at a really good rate. Although I don't have stats, I'm just saying that. But I think the popularity is growing. Obviously, I don't know how fast it's growing, but the popularity there is growing with regards to soccer. And I know even like in the UK, like there's a bigger emphasis coming on like the international like women's teams and also like the club teams as well with regards to football, soccer. And you can see it even in Formula One as well. You know, it's happening, but you know, there's still not enough people. There's still not enough there, but it's happening, and people will hopefully, and especially like white males, start to like take it a bit serious as well. Because like, hey, you like sports. Like, if you like sports, like what have you got against like, you know, females playing sports? Or because there's always that stigma, isn't there? Like you always hear like, oh, you know, with regards to like men are doing it better kind of thing. And it's just like, no, it's like, we, you know, look back in history as well. You have the likes of, you know, Billie Jean King in tennis and stuff like that. And, you know, women are always being trod on in that regard. I mean, across everything, but, you know, in sports as well, where it is so male dominated, like the popular sports are, you know, are all basically male dominated. And I think like slowly starts to change a bit more. And I kind of fall into like, you know, looking at esports as well, where again, that's something that's just all male dominated and slightly different, but you start to see other people popping up, and hopefully it starts to set a precedent in the future that it's not just, you know, males that are doing all this, and that other people feel like they can break into there as well. But it's not easy, because they obviously have all additional hurdles to get over, apart from just the fact of having the ability. But then there's just the discrimination as well that comes along with that.
Yeah. And you see a lot of people saying like, oh, women don't know how to play football. Women shouldn't be coaching football. Like, no woman in history can coach a male football team. And like, to that I say, number one, bullshit. But number two, like, these three women, as the Sky Sports article says, they earned their stripes. They crafted their love of football and their skill at the sport through collegiate games, which is American college games. And now they're working at the highest level of the highest profile sport in America. So that's what I say about that.
Yeah, it always bugs me where like people are like, or they'll spin it like it's like, oh, this person's just, you know, it's like a token role or something like that. And it's like, fuck off. Like, I just don't get it. I just don't get it when that's people's response to people making history like this. And it doesn't mean the slightest that things are better, or, you know, we're at the point where it's like, yay, you know, we've got three officials that are female in the NFL. It's like that's not where we want to stop. But it's like people that just can't even acknowledge that. It's just like, mm-hmm. to even acknowledge that that's a good thing, it's just, it's like, what is wrong? Like, why would that cause you so much pain? Like celebrating somebody's success, no matter who they are. It's like, nope, you just can't do it. You just can't do it. And it just feels like that's a real issue we have these days as well, is just not being able to celebrate mm-hmm. things that are happening, celebrating history, like celebrating the good kind of history. And
mm-hmm. And it reminds me, actually, I read a book, a novel. It was a romance novel back. Well, I only read it in the last couple of years, but it was written in the early to mid 90s. And one of the characters in it, one of the main protagonists, it was a female high school football coach. And she, like, this is back in the 90s when obviously this kind of jobs for women first became an option, I guess. And like, the book really, it wasn't a very good book, to be honest, but it had nothing to do with the content. It was just kind of boring. The book describes like how she was really shit on because women can't coach men's sports. But moral of the story is that by the end of the book, their team had won like the championship for the first time in 50 years or something, and go women. But yeah, so I'm just like, you know, this isn't a new issue, but also shut the fuck up. Like, let's move on.
Yeah. And it makes me laugh as well, because like when I look at like the Premier League, for example, like, which is one of the, you know, biggest soccer leagues in the world. And like, you have managers there that, you know, they're all males. And half the time people are like, oh, you know, that manager's shit. But it's never because of their gender, right? It's never mm-hmm. because they're male. And it's just like, that's never questioned. But if and hopefully when we get like female managers in managing top clubs, or even just clubs in the divisions, that it's like, yeah, we know like automatically that's going to be thrown up. The gender is going to be automatically issued, because we've got officials in like, you know, England and stuff doing that. And it's just like that's the first thing that people just go to. It's like straight to the gender. It's like that's just the default. And I think that's just where it always seems to collapse, right? It's just like, it's just so wrong. It's just so frustrating. Like, that is where people have to go to first when looking at something like that. And it's just feels like such a narrow-minded approach to just life, really. And I don't know, I just feel sorry for people. I just feel sorry for people that's their approach in life. Because it's just like, wake up, you fucking dinosaur. Like, we're in new age now.
Indeed. And speaking of new ages, I put this article in this week to talk about for you, Tom.
Oh, so thank you.
You're so welcome. So Mike Morhaime, who you might know as the former CEO and co-founder of Blizzard Entertainment, has teamed up with other industry veterans to launch a new game company called Dreamhaven.
Great name, by the way. Great name.
Yeah. So the only reason I really put this in is because I think that's great. Blizzard is a long-running company, obviously, from the late 80s, early 90s, and it's been great. World of Warcraft, StarCraft, Hearthstone, Diablo, Heroes of the Storm, all those games, you know, really good reputation, really good games for the most part. I mean,
well, people, yeah, it's just like, well, the last few years have been quite a bit.
Gemma's a recovering Blizzard fangirl. I understand.
She's going for the Dreamhaven.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is kind of interesting because obviously like Mike Morhaime stepped down from Blizzard few years back, and I'm guessing probably had to kind of have that, what's it, gardener's leave, is it, where you have to not do stuff because you know too much information, and you have to let time pass before you can, I don't know. And anyway, now kind of coming out of the, because I thought he was done, like, you know, when he retired from Blizzard, and obviously Blizzard have changed a lot of business practices, there's a lot of things changing, not always for the good there. There's still good stuff happening in some ways, but also as someone that's kind of been heavily, I'm going to say heavily linked. Well, I guess I kind of have been, you know, connected to Blizzard Entertainment for the last, you know, 10 years, 15 years, that you see changes. And it's probably not just a Blizzard thing, right? It's an industry thing. And where there's some good things in the video game industry, you know, there's also things that they're not so good. And it is going to be quite interesting to see where it all heads for this project. And, you know, it's exciting to have someone like Mike Morhaime, who founded Blizzard, which became a pretty big deal, some big games there, like Amanda mentioned, and see where that goes now, especially because a few veterans have kind of followed with him as well. So who knows, that could be one for the future to look out for, to see what they're going to be producing over there. But apparently kind of the ethos there is to just have people in there, you know, that want to be creative and kind of let them spread their wings as well, without the corporate kind of restrictions that I think a lot of these AAA companies are, they're under a lot of restrictions with regards to like how creative they can get with certain aspects, I think. And I mean, I don't know for sure, but you just kind of assume certain things get that way when companies just get to that point. And as someone that kind of pays a bit more close attention to indie titles that have that creative, I just kind of look at a lot of games that come out, you know, the top games that come out, right? Like those AAA titles. And then I look at a lot of indie games, and I feel like just sometimes there's just way more soul in indie titles, because you can just resonate or see just that love that's actually put into it. And a lot of times that's maybe like more smaller projects, you know, it's maybe made by like smaller teams, which I guess can be quite a bit more intimate that way. But yeah, I'm just rambling. Hello.
Oh, I know what you mean. And I think I'm really hopeful and curious about the way that Mike Morhaime is going to, where he's going to take this company, Dreamhaven, because he says that he's always believed in the power of games to bring people together regardless of backgrounds or boundaries. And that makes me think, like, okay, so are we going with maybe a remote company where many of the positions will be remote, so that you're not excluded, or maybe not excluded is not the right word, but you're not bound by, like, being based in America to work with an American-based company? Because I think, you know, I see a lot of opportunities myself coming up in American companies. I'm like, I would love to apply for that, but it's in Maryland, and I'm not moving to Maryland. You couldn't pay me to move to Maryland. So, like, there you go.
Could we, though?
No.
Could we?
No, we definitely could not. I wouldn't move to America to, like, no.
All right, I thought you were just specifically saying, sorry, Maryland.
Maryland.
As Monica would say. There we go. There's your next Monica Byrne right there. Just dropped it in.
And I like the thought about different backgrounds as well, because not only does that open up a diversity and inclusion point of view, but it also maybe thinks, like, if you're maybe new to game development or into the industry, like, you might, there might be a lot more traineeship positions opening up with Dreamhaven. So I'm really excited to see where this company goes and what is going to come out of, you know, the announcements and the news as Dreamhaven grows.
I'm really interested to see their vision as well and what happens with that.
That was a really great leeway, Tom. Leeway.
Leeway, as leeway, Monica would say.
As Monica would say. There's our other Monica Jabin. Because we had our first look at WandaVision, the latest, soon to be latest release from the Marvel Cinematic Universe going out on Disney Plus. It's a TV show, as we talked all about in our episode back probably about a year ago when we started geeking out about Marvel's Phase 4. We're looking at, like, a trippy TV show starring Wanda and Vision, looking at, like, a Marvel.
Well, that's why it's called WandaVision.
Did you not know that?
I just connected that right now. Just saying it out loud. It's like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's why. Brilliant. That's really clever.
Yeah.
whoever thought of that should get a pay rise.
Noted. We'll email Disney to let them know. So this looks amazing. I watched the trailer. I don't know. Have you had a chance to watch it, Tom?
No, I haven't, and obviously we don't have the technological capacity to watch it right now.
That's okay. No problem. Basically, it's like 1950s, 1940s, like, housewife kind of situation. They've just moved to a new neighborhood, but it's like all sorts of characters from the Marvel films put in. Basically, what I think is happening is, like, Wanda, the Scarlet Witch, is going into some kind of hallucination, basically, of what her life and Vision's life could have been like in all these eras, decades, situations, years, parts of the world. And it looks amazing. So this is pretty exciting, actually.
Like, you've sold it to me just from that description. I'm like, oh, like, I wish I'd actually watch the trailer now. And
you can watch it after.
Yeah, I'll watch it after.
I would recommend.
I mean, the kind of cover that they're going for this is, like, black and white 1950s, and, like, Wanda is, like, your stereotypical almost Stepford wife, isn't it? Mm. And
in some parts, there's a lot in this. So,
I'm just going by the image.
Yeah, yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
I'm not seeing moving pictures, but yeah, I'm interested in this. Obviously, it feels like Marvel stuff's kind of quieted down, and I mean, I guess everything movie-wise is sort of quieted down this year. So I feel like ready to get back on the Marvel train and, all aboard.
Oh, for sure. Phase 4 was a bit derailed, going with your train metaphor, because obviously we're supposed to have Black Widow's film come out in May, and unfortunately COVID delayed that. And I heard as well that because of the way that Mulan didn't perform quite as well as they wanted it to, even with its Disney Plus, like, paid release, that they're kind of just really on hold with putting everything out for Marvel because they don't want to lose money on it, which I understand. But also I'm like, well, you've also made a lot of money. And also, I don't think that Mulan lost money because it was released on Disney Plus during COVID. I think that there was a lot of controversy around that film, as we talked about last week.
Also, you were charging £30 for it, Disney. So, you know, might want to look at your pricing structure there, just saying.
Too, on a platform that you're already paying to subscribe to. So,
exactly.
Know. Yeah. But Paul Bettany, who plays Vision, says that this series is going to get more and more bonkers, even more than what the trailer shows. So I'm hyped for it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun and something that's going to, I don't know. I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be pretty amazing.
Do we have any sort of release date on this, or is this just going to be?
It just says coming soon. Nothing that I see gives any kind of timeline on it, but you know,
I guess because it's like a TV miniseries, it's probably like I doubt they'd just be like, well, we got to hold off on that. Mm-hmm. Because you know, people like TV, people can still watch TV, we can still watch it. You can release it, you can release it now, we'll watch it.
It'll
be fine.
It's true. Yeah, I can't remember. I feel like when the Phase 4 timeline was first revealed, like last year, I think this was scheduled to come out, I want to say November this year, but with the timeline getting pushed back, I'm not sure how everything's going to be affected. Like, I'm sure that they'll want to still put out their content in the order, because I think they had it going out in a specific order, you know, for continuity and for, you know, the hype building that will be in Phase 4. So I don't know.
Yeah, it probably won't be till, I'm going to say next year now, because obviously Mandalorian is going to be coming out very shortly, and they're not going to like put something over the top of that, because I feel like that's enough just to get people stay subscribed to Disney Plus, just that one show. Thanks, Baby True. Yoda.
Everybody loves the Baby Yoda. So I'm pretty excited about our next article. We don't really have a leeway here, but American Girl, who you've, I think we'd actually talked about this pretty recently. They have announced and released their latest doll. And not only is she like a total retro 80s video gamer girl, in her storybook, it ends with her going on to become a video game developer. So she is like everything that I want in an American Girl doll. I'm in love with her. Her name is Courtney Moore. And she comes complete with a Pac-Man arcade game that actually works. You can plug it into a USB charger and off you go playing your freaking little mini Pac-Man. That's amazing. Right?
That's amazing.
She comes with like a retro. She's got neon tights on and a neon scrunchie and a bright blue shirt. And okay, so like that's one thing. You have the option to get accessory packs that include a caboodle, which is... Tom's just like, a what? It's like a little makeup kit that you can put your scrunchies, your hair stuff in, your makeup, anything to do with like, it's your whole kit and caboodle, you know? It comes with, or you can get the Pac-Man lunchbox set, which has like a sandwich and a thermos and
looks not like a real cheese. Sandwich, right?
This no, is
not
it's,
a
real probably, sandwich. It's probably plastic, yeah. It looks okay. Like cheese puffs. You also get the option of a Lisa Frank sticker and drawing kit, which is like exciting for little 80s girls everywhere. And you get a Walkman and a whole bunch of like hair ties. Plus, and this is the most exciting thing ever, you can get a Care Bears nightshirt. Not only can you get that for Courtney, the American Girl doll, you can also get it for your actual little girl child. They are making the Care Bears nightshirt for children now. This is awesome. Courtney's book is called Courtney Changes the Game, and she is described as the best gamer at the arcade. Hell yeah. She's particularly fond of Pac-Man and is a top scorer at the arcade. The book also hints that Courtney may also be a budding video game developer, as she's left to wonder why there aren't more girl characters in video games. She gets her chance when her school allows her to code her own video game, where she creates a female main character who is capable of handling any damn situation. Right, so this is all amazing. But not only this, American Girl has teamed up with Girls Who Code, which is a charity organization that encourages and teaches young girls how to code to become video game developers. And they're matching donations up to $50,000 to Girls Who Code.
It's a great statement as well. And I think, like, I don't know, I've never heard of anything like this being done before. I mean, obviously, my knowledge of dolls is not great, but you know, I know Barbie, I know Ken, and I definitely know that, like, the kind of stereotypical stuff that they're getting up to. No, not that. But I think, like, this is just great to have something like this, that it's just potentially capturing the imagination of kids, that it, you know, just like even having a story, you know, like reading a story where it's like, hey, like, this person grew up to be, they made video games and they were, you know, they were awesome at video games, and then they started making video games. And even just that simple concept being told to, like, kids, like, it might inspire them, because obviously video games are more accessible now than they've ever been, with, you know, regards to even just consoles and mobile and things like that. And just having kids know that, hey, you could make video games. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. And obviously we want more, like, girls in the industry as well, and, like, more females in the video game industry, and increasing that diversity that way. And I think, again, it all starts with the basics, right? The basics of, like, hey, here's a character that makes video games and she's awesome. It's just, it's simple and pure, but I think it can send a really big message.
Yeah. It's great that to see American Girl creating dolls to speak to, like, the modern generation, because, like, they're a fantastic company. They feature, I don't know how much you know about them, Tom, but they create dolls based on, like, historically accurate women from, like, throughout history. And it's such an empowering company, because every single book or every single doll comes with a story, and it's like, it is all about how she has been a trailblazer in her era of history, or what she has done, or what this, it's just such a fantastic company. And they're the kind of dolls that you want your children to have. Like, they actually have meaning. They're not just an awesome doll to look at and play with. Like, there's so much meaning.
It's more than, like, cosmetic, and there's like a story behind there. And I think that's important as well. Like, to have that context of, like, why this person is awesome, and like what they achieved, and how they achieved it to some regard as well. And I think, like, that definitely sounds like that's kind of what you'd want your kid to be playing with, you know. That's like, hey, this is fun, but, you know, also educational, but exactly. Fun as well.
Yeah, fun, educational, and empowering. And I think that that's where, like, this is a toy company that's got it right. That's nailed that market, and, you know, they're just doing great things, and long may it continue, and maybe see more amazing dolls come out of them.
Absolutely. And you know, toys, we've all had toys in our life, haven't we, Amanda? We've all, like, owned different types of toys. And do you see where I'm going here?
Has it got weird?
No. Quickly give context to my words.
We are saying an official farewell, so long, goodbye to the Nintendo 3DS
production. Oh, I thought we were ending the show. No.
No.
Sorry. We're saying goodbye to what now?
The Nintendo 3DS. It ends production after nearly 10 years, and also countless years before with the Nintendo 2DS and the DS and, I don't know, all of those models.
Tier. But I would like to point out, though, that just because the Nintendo 3DS is ending production, I do not believe that means that Nintendo DS games are ceasing production. So it's not like the end completely, but it's the end of this console, which, I don't know, I think it was slightly controversial in a way when it came out, because it had this 3D element that made people sick and hurt their eyes. And I don't know actually how many people used it. And I've got a funny story about the 3DS.
You do, and I would love for you to share with it, because I am laughing already in just thinking about it.
So me and Amanda went out one day and for a loaf of bread, and we came back with two 3DSs. That's not the funny part.
True.
But basically what happened was that I was playing my 3DS over months, probably a year or more, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really good having all those games in the palm of your hand. But I didn't like the 3D, so I had it turned off. At least I thought I did. No, it turns out all, like for a year, I had the 3D turned just all the way down, but my screen was still slightly blurry, still trying to slightly replicate 3D. And I had sat there just, I thought that was it. I thought like, okay, well, you know, this is what it's like. And then one day I was lying in bed and Amanda goes to me, why have you got like the 3D just turned all the way down and not off completely? And I was like, what are you talking about? It is off. Like, this is how I always play it. And she just pulled it down. It clicked into place. And I was like, oh my God, like this changes everything. And yeah, so the whole time I had actually been playing the 3D S with minimal 3D, and I felt a bit silly, but you know, you live and learn about these things. But I mean, I think, you know, the DS in itself is what a legacy it's having. Like, it's still going, it's not done in that regard. But I remember being in college, like I was still in college when I got my first DS, and I got it shipped from America, and I got Super Mario 3D on it, and I was sitting there playing it in college, like at lunchtime, and people were crowding around the table because it was like I got it imported from America, and people were like, oh, it's so cool. And like, you know, it's obviously it switched to like 3DS and now like the 2DS, and the games kind of changed a little bit, but I think the core of like the DS as a whole, it's kind of had that, you know, Game Boy-esque impact, maybe even more in a way, because I think it's just, you know, it's such a popular console. And now, you know, the Switch has come in and took a little bit of that away, but I still think, you know, it's a top dog when it comes to the handheld market. But obviously Nintendo now moving away from that, and you know, probably got their next wacky gadget up their sleeve. Probably involves.
Do they need another wacky gadget though? I mean, the Nintendo Switch is like, you know, kicking ass, taking names. And we're celebrating like the 3DS sold more than 75 million units. And the Switch is like up and coming, you know, it's not just a handheld console. It's also a TV console. It's a two-player console. It's the everything you need. It's like, I think it's a worthy replacement to something that has changed lives, changed video game lives for the last 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'll still be holding on to my 3DS pretty dearly. I mean, I recently bought a physical game. Like, I don't really do that anymore, but I bought a game for it recently. And I think like that's going to be just one of those timeless consoles that it's got so many great titles on it that, yeah, it's a great piece of kit. And I think like if you wanted a console just to have on the go, it's still a great shout, even though like 3DS is ending production. They might come up with some other model now. I don't know. They might. Maybe one last throw of the dice. But yeah,
it was funny with the 3DS that like you could have your meet other 3DS players turned on. And like when we were in the airport, we were trying to connect with other 3DS users in the airport.
Yeah, there's all those weird games in there.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, it's like gimmicky stuff. And I don't know, I think like Nintendo just famed for it, for slightly strange stuff that kind of works. And then when it does, it's fun. But then sometimes it doesn't really work. But yeah, I mean, Nintendo just, I think for a while there, it looked like, you know, with regards to, you know, the Wii U and stuff, it looked like they were taking a few backward steps. But the Switch, I think, has just changed everything for them again. Not that like they're ever in trouble of like, you know, going out of business or anything, because I think they've just got a dragon's hoard of wealth to continue forever doing their weird stuff. But yeah, we're saying goodbye to the 3DS, but that just means something new will replace it. The Nintendo Switch 3D coming soon. We're announcing it now live on GeekHaring. Place your pre-orders, use code GeekHaring at checkout. And I don't know what I'm saying. That was just nonsense, wasn't it?
GeekHaring does not condone this message.
It doesn't condone it? That means you...
Doesn't. We don't support this message.
You don't support... Okay, I was going to say you don't condone my message, which means you support it?
I don't know. Words are hard. But along with saying goodbye to the Nintendo 3DS, we're also saying goodbye to you this week, listeners.
Goodbye, listeners. Goodbye.
So, Tom, let us know where we can find you for anybody that doesn't know you.
Hello, my name is Tom, and you can find me on my podcast, which is a podcast about video games, mostly indie games, also feel-good stories in the video game industry, and most importantly, Trivia, Three Extra Lives podcast. You can find that where you find podcasts, really. Where you found this podcast, Geek Herring, you probably could find Three Extra Lives there as well. And you can find me on social media at Three Extra Lives as well. Usually kicking about there, doing some stuff. So that's it. That's where you find me. If you weren't put off by my contribution in this episode today, definitely come check me out. I'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tom. And I will put your details in our show notes along with all the news stories that we talked about today. And we will see you again next week for another awesome episode of Geek Herring. Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.